The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
He is God. There's nothing we can go and do behind His back because He knows already. God is always good and He loves everyone and He knows we can be awkward. I'm awkward at times. Reminds me of a story of a pastor that opened up with an illustration of worms. He took three jars and he had them on a table there. And he told the people, look, this is what alcohol and smoking do to you. Drinking and smoking a lot. This first jar is saturated in alcohol. Look at the worms are dead. The second jar, I filled it with smoke continually. Look at the worms, they're dead. But look at this third jar. Fresh dirt. Healthy worms, alive. What do you get from this, church? An elderly lady way in the back raises her hand. I know, Pastor. Tell us, dear sister. She goes, well, I know I can still keep drinking and smoking because it kills worms, right? We can be awkward. And you know, I know today, right now, all of you that are here, God's going to speak to all of us. And I'll tell you why. I was asked this morning a certain question. Nothing has gone right this morning. But know this. In the middle of adversary, in the middle of those turmoil moments, God is always in the middle of it. In the middle of the storms of life. Even my power and my drum set went out, so that's why I started playing louder a little ago. And it's okay, God is still going to speak. He'll still speak to us no matter how loud your life is or how much in error you are. He's still right there wooing us with His love. No matter how awkward we can be or our loved one can be, God is still in the middle of that awkwardness, amen? And I will be speaking out of Numbers chapter 22, verse 21 through 25. And I like this picture. Because I'm sure these parents were driving through a zoo somewhere, and the mom and dad told him, don't put the window all the way down, son. They told him what to do. Did he listen? No. We need to do what God tells us to do first, and what it says in His word, for face value end to end. Not just little parts here and there. We need to take it end to end. And then we need to listen to those over us. Our authorities, our parents, those over you, our leaders, your bosses, we need to do what they say. Amen? I will do what you say. Keep that in mind. Numbers chapter 22, verse 21 through 31 reads like this. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princesses to Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with the sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on his side and the wall on the other side. Verse 25. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her donkey again. Verse 26. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn left nor to the right hand or anywhere else. Then the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. She lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you struck me with these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for I now would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "I am not your donkey. Am I not the donkey which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." And the last verse, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this great morning. We thank you for your word. I just pray that you would teach us something fresh and new through your word and through the story of Balaam and his donkey. God, instill in us what we need to learn, what we need to grasp, and leave with that here this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very interesting story. The book of Numbers is another book that many scholars, if you did your homework as I did, they go back and in the libraries to these studies, and the book of Numbers is hardly touched. Just like a while back I spoke in the book of Esther, those books were hardly touched. Some of these books in the Bible to us might seem boring, might seem seamlessly that we don't need to read them. We need to read every book that's in here because this is God's holy word. It all applies, amen? And the book of Numbers is just as important. And here we pick up the story, and I'll summarize from the beginning. The Israelites had just been released from captivity from Egypt, and they're traveling through the desert, and they're coming across the Jordan, and they're coming closer to the Moabites, the city of Moab. And there's a king there named Balak, and he's nervous and scared, and so is the city, because they have heard about these Israelites and their God. They were so afraid, if you read the beginning of this chapter, that people were getting sick. Have you ever been so afraid that your stomach's like, oh, fear will do that. I do a Bible study on Wednesday nights as well in Brawley with a group, and I've told them fear will paralyze you. But it depends which God you're serving. If you're serving the holy God, the creator of all, there's nothing to fear. He's in control. He knows what he's doing, and we don't. But when you're on the other side of this God, Elohim, Yahweh, the mighty God creator, you're in a dangerous place. And these people knew about this, and this king was concerned. They even said, man, these Israelites, there's many of them. I believe it was said in Exodus, there was at least 3 million people. 3 million people let go from captivity. They were captive for over 400 years there in Egypt, and God set them free. This king was saying, there's too many. These guys are like cows and oxen, man. They're going to eat everything in their path. And God was giving them favor. They wiped out the Amorites just before coming here to Moab. And they heard the stories. Have you heard stories about the great things God does? We have. I know you have. You've seen what this mighty God can do. And we need to trust him and come to him in the midst of these battles and say, Lord, I will do what you say. Because I know all of you in this room just love to be told what to do, right? All of you, including me. Oh, yeah. I'll go cut the grass. Oh, yeah. I'll go throw out the trash. I got it. We love to be ordered around, don't we? No, we don't. We hate to be told what to do. But with God's word, how can you go wrong? Yeah, everything went wrong this morning, but service is still moving. We're here. You should have seen when we got here. Chairs are all slid to the front, tables all down, and there's kid stuff everywhere. They must have had summer school. It was a mess in here. And two great servants that helped us set up said, let's mop. Oh. In my flesh, I was saying, we don't got time to mop. We got to have church. But I humbled myself. I came under their authority, and these two people started mopping, so we all mopped it up. We wanted God's house to look good, amen? And look, we're still having church. See, when God spoke creation, and there's going to be an end, because Revelation says it clearly, the ship's going to sail no matter what happens. God already spoke it. But why does this happen? Well, why does God say this and that? And it's all legalistic arguments. Just let the ship sail, man. Go with it. Go with God. Things are going to come. Adversities will float up. But which side are you on? Who are you listening to? That was my intro. Balaam, here's a subtitle, was kind of like a brujo, a witch man, a false prophet. He was a diviner. He practiced divination, and I will tell you what divination means to God first and what should mean to us. This is divination, because this is what Balaam played around with, and he used his powers and sources from. Divination is this. First of all, divination is sin before God, period. It is not harmless. It is not a harmless entertainment or an alternate source of wisdom. Christians should avoid any practice related to divination, including fortune telling, astrology, witchcraft, tarot cards, necromancing, and spell casting. The spirit world is real, but it is not innocent. According to scripture, those spirits that are not the Holy Spirit or angels, but are evil spirits. Christians need not to fear these spirits involved in divination, but neither are Christians to seek the wisdom from them. The Christian's wisdom comes from who? God Almighty. Period. I used to read my horoscope. What's my month going to be like? I always went to this little liquor store. I'd buy my little roll. It was all lies. My life was pretty good before Christ. So I thought, the partying and drinking, all the acts I committed that I'm not proud of, I thought that was it. I was so wrong, so blinded. I was doing what Frank said to do. I didn't want to do what God said to do. Oh, I'll do what I say, but I'm not going to do what you tell me or you tell me or anyone tells me. Who's God? Who cares about this Elohim? We need to serve this mighty God. We need to follow what he tells us to do or say. Amen? Many Christians seek to use God rather than to serve God. I'm going to repeat these twice. Many Christians seek to use God rather than to serve God. We try to convince God our happiness is more important than our holiness. We try to convince God that our happiness is more important than our holiness. That our pleasures are more important than pleasing him. That our pleasures are more important than pleasing him first. You see what comes first in your life? What's leading you? Self. Adversity comes, trials come. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. But if you put God first, it's going to ease up a little. And we so forget quickly and put flesh in the front. And we kick God to the backseat and we want to drive the car of our lives when he wants to drive. We do what we want to say, and it's not good. Look at James 4:3. James 4:3, look what it says. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend on what you get on your pleasures. It's right there, folks. And people come to me, Frank, my life's in shambles. And I don't know what's going on. What am I doing wrong? I'm reading and praying and doing what I'm told through God's word and what I'm learning. But what are your motives behind it? Where's your heart in that moment? In those moments of adversary. Like this morning, yeah, we were concerned. We were going to lose time. We were going to run late. This youngster asked me just before coming up here, Frank, wow, this is going wrong. What's going on? God's right there. Remember the light? When you're outside in the dark, you turn on the light. What's the first thing that comes? Bugs. Bugs are attracted to light. They come and try to sort of say, jack up God's work. They can't. God already spoke it. He said this morning, remnant's going to run a little behind. I'm going to leave them a little bit of a mess, but I'm going to make them humble, and I want to see the intentions of their heart. I want to see how much they do want to serve and do what I say and not what they say. It humbled us. And I consoled that young lad and said, you know what, it's going to be okay. God's in control. We're still having church, ain't we? It smells kind of nice, huh? A brother bought Pine Sol and Clorox. It smelled good. It didn't smell too good when we first walked in. They spilled stuff everywhere. I was concerned too. Oh, we don't got time to mop. The brother still went and got the mop. We ended up with 4 mops. I ended up mopping. Man, I wouldn't have church. Am I doing mopping? They know who I am. Like the story of that pastor is a true story up in L.A. Great speaker. I'll keep his name anonymous. And he was invited to a big convention of great speakers, 10 guys, I think. And he was going to go on at a certain time. And he's ready back there going all over his notes. And the piano guy never showed up. And one of the pastors says, "Pastor, we know you've played in the past. You need to play the piano." He goes, "No, don't you know who I am? I'm going to preach." "No, you're going to play the piano. God wants you to play without a piano player." And he went and played. And tons of people came to salvation. See, when you don't want to service, when you should serve, when you don't want to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's when you should. And Balaam was pretty awkward. He played with the things of God. He tried to play God. Because he told these princesses that came try to buy him with money, "Here, we're going to give you this much money." He goes, "Oh, let me go talk with God." You know what? He said, "Don't go." He said, "Don't go." And then they came back with more money. And he said, "Oh, let me talk to God." He was trying to play like the middleman, playing with God, like he was in control. God was on one side, and here's the Moabites on the other end. And he tried to take the initiative, the authoritative position as the leader of both sides. And he was so wrong. But it's funny, God, is this what confounded me up till right now? I never got an answer for myself. God is speaking to a false prophet, to a witch doctor, to a whatever you want to call him, a diviner. A man that really didn't believe in God. He believed in self. And God still spoke to him, used him. That means he can use any one of us in here. But where's your intentions of your heart? What are your intentions? Are you even serving at any level? There's nothing more important than being on God's right path with him. But there's nothing more dangerous than being on the wrong path. One more time, there's nothing more important than being on the right path with God. And there's nothing more dangerous than being on the wrong path with God. And the Bible goes on to say that the donkey spoke to him. You know what's funny? Why was not Balaam shocked? What? Is this the movie Shrek? Where's camera? Which I didn't have time for Jeremiah to put this for me in the PowerPoint. You guys seen the first part one Shrek? I saw it like 5 times with my daughters when they were little. Remember that scene where they're trying, Shrek is just telling him, "Be quiet," and the donkey's talking to him. To me, this donkey in this story, when he spoke to Balaam and tried to show him, "Don't go down that path," he kept turning. That's like our inner voice. That little voice inside trying to tell us to lead us the right way, to do the right thing. And we try to shut that voice up. And we kick it to the curb. And we abuse that little voice that's trying to lead us in the right path. What could have blinded him? Why did he miss that a donkey was speaking to him? Maybe his passions and desires blinded him. He was focused on the money, 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 money. Hey, I should be a singer. Where's Chris at? I'll help you next time. No, I'm kidding. I just play drums. I don't have a voice. God said, "No, friend, you're just going to be back there making noise. You're good." He was focused on the wrong thing. Maybe he was trying to impress those with him. He lost focus of a donkey speaking to him. I know some of you have pets, and I'm going to go there. Some of you talk to them. Like he's your family member. I'm not knocking it. I have a daughter that makes cakes. My wife used to cook dinner for my dogs when they were still here. Praise God. I'm just glad they didn't talk because I'd probably be kicked to the curb. They'd be best friends. I get home and my dog was in my recliner and my wife's sitting there smiling, "Hi, honey, how was work?" "Not good now because he's in my seat." We have fights about the dogs. Me and my wife would fight because of the dog. We're in time to go to bed. I'm like, "What the heck? There's a dog there." I would argue with her. I go, "God created them to be outside. They have the coats." I think, "No, honey, they need to be inside. God loves them." Oh, those are some of our biggest fights in our marriage. Awkward, huh? You know what? I love that God will take two people, totally different, and I know why now he does that. And I've shared this with some of you that I've talked with, counseled with. He takes the other side and shows you your defects, and you vice versa. You see their defects and you learn to work them out. Not beat each other up and point your finger, look what you're doing. Why don't you take in what they're correcting you and apply it and learn from that to make it smoother the next time that situation comes up? I wish I had a pen. I know I'd hear it. Guys, I lived it. I say it because I lived it with my wife. Boy, it was always her fault. I was always right. I did what I said was right. I was so wrong. But as the years progressed, reading more of his word, I started learning I need to be working on me. I need to say and do what it says in here. I need to learn from this donkey. Why a donkey? God could use the simplest, minutest, dumbest things, and we're still don't see it. We still miss it, overlook it. That donkey that speaks to us, what are you doing? This is not right. Ah. We can be that way sometimes, huh? If Balaam was a true prophet, then why couldn't he see the angel of the Lord? See, a true prophet is known as a seer. They see future events. They see what God is doing. And at times, they could see spiritual things that normal people don't. Why couldn't he see it? I'll tell you why. It's simple. He wasn't a true prophet. Thank you. She lipped it just exactly the same time I said it. I know there's a Bible scholar over here somewhere now. I'll stay on this side. He wasn't a true prophet. But listen, God was still willing to use him. He was giving him a shot, a chance, an opportunity. And we're so quick to kick our loved ones to the curb. We're not any better. We can be like a donkey sometimes. Sorry, that goes for me too. Balaam couldn't see the donkey. And the Bible also says he beat him up 3 times. Not once, 3 times. How many times have you beat up that voice, shutting it up, because you want to do your own thing? Oh, leave me alone, donkey. Leave me alone in a voice. Holy Spirit, leave me alone. I got it. I got this. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. We kicked that donkey all the way to the curb. Bible says he whooped them 3 times with the stick. How many times have you beat people up? Oh, Frank, I stand to correct you because I've never fought or lifted a fist. More power to you. But your mouth. About words. Those carry more weight. Words carry more weight. I've said this before. You can slap someone. And then later on they'll forget about it maybe. But words, we hurt. They never go away. They're penetrated in our soul. Especially those that belittle people. Especially those you love in your own family. Those are important to God. Very important how we speak to our loved ones first. We hurt people. We've beat them up with words. The Bible says we kill people with our words. I've told you this before. My mom always called me el diablito. Ahí viene el drogadito, the drug addict, my little demon boy. And she was proclaiming it. Till I learned God's word, I said, Mom, don't call me or my brother no more. As a Christian now, of course, just recently, not back then, because she'd slap me around. Now that she sees me as a minister, I'd sat with her before. Recently, and I explained to her, Mom, we have power in the tongue. Me and my brother, yeah, we messed up, but we're not demons. We're children of God, too. We were probably Balaams at the time. But, Mom, we're not demons. We're angels created by God. We're like little angels. Now, when you call your son or me, think of us as little angels instead of demons. What are you calling your loved ones? Use the right word. Somebody's playing a cool sax. See, nothing's going right today. You know why? Because God is speaking. That donkey. Sit that donkey down. Can you imagine the donkey? I can hear him saying, whoa, 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 hold up, master. You beat me up 3 times already. How long have I been your donkey? How long have I been your beast of burden? 20-odd years. Have I ever done anything off course? Something strange. Have ever not wanted you writing me? Have I ever disobeyed you? Have I ever done something strange before you or something out of place, master? I could hear the donkey. I'll speak for the donkey. Think about it. And Balaam goes, well, you know what? Now that I think about it, no. Hello, then get on the right path. We can't go that way. But our pride gets in the way. Our ego, no, I don't care. I don't care how rough it gets. I'm going to go my way. We fight it, guys. Those people that are out there that we know, our family members, those out there in the world we work with, friends, relatives that don't know Jesus, they're fighting it. Some people even text me and call me, quit praying for me. They do. I'll run into them. Don't pray for me no more. I'm good. All right, but I'm lying because in my mind I'm praying for you anyway. I'd be a very poor minister if I told him, yeah, you're right. You know what, Bob? I'm not going to pray for you anymore. You're on your own. Shame on me. Shame on me. I love Bob. No matter how he treated me or would treat me or call me. What did he call me for? I don't know why God brought me to you. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Bob is a great man. I met him here at church. And whatever, however he would treat me, I have to show the love of Christ. I have to listen to that voice. We need to apply that and practice it. But Balaam didn't see it because his motives were wrong. His mind was made up, and not even a talking donkey was going to get his attention. What's funny is about us, as we know what we're doing wrong. We know when we're going down that wrong path. We know it. And God does too. But God will always give us another chance. He'll always give us that opportunity. That's the God we serve, a good God. But don't be playing with him and stringing him along and say, you know what, when I'm about to die, I'm going to believe in Jesus and walk with God. That's premeditated, I'm sorry. That's pre-planned. God already knew that. Because he knows everything. So why is this story of Balaam placed here? I believe the story of Balaam and his donkey was placed here for a reason in the middle of the book of Numbers and for us to listen about today that hardly no one preaches out of, the book of Numbers. What was Balaam's first situation or an error? Balaam's request. Balaam asked God for a prayer. He prayed to God to see what he was going to do with these people that are offering the money to go curse Israel. See, the Moabites were afraid and they wanted them wiped out. And King Balak said, we cursed them. Curse them, Balaam. I know what you can do. You got power. He wanted them cursed. He wanted them out of the way. Have you ever got an answered prayer from God then changed your mind? It happens. You know what, God? Never mind. That's not the girl I wanted. That's not the guy I wanted. That's not the job I wanted. It happens. Be careful what you ask for. God will let you have it. But there's also outcomes of it. Situations will string up. Consequences. I'm still paying for mine. I lived a real dark life. And I'm not proud of. And I'm dealing with it. And I say, okay, God, I know it's you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going through this. I want to learn from it, God. I don't want to do it again. Let me learn from this. I try to bring the donkey with me, not kick it to the curb. I want to listen to that donkey. So here's Balaam asking for the request, and then he really didn't like the prayer. In our stubbornness, we refuse to see what others can see around us as well. There's people around us trying to tell us the right thing, and we're being stubborn about it. We can be stubborn just like a donkey. Sometimes others can see clearer than us because our emotions are clogging up our judgment. We get foggy. But you have those around you that will try to steer you in the right way, to be that donkey in your life. And I mean that in a nice way. Be careful when you ask God for something and then turn your back. Listen, when I became a Christian, I started going to a church and I would hear the preachers and in my head I was saying, Lord, I want to preach. I want to be a preacher, God. The years went by. He set it all up. And when I started preaching, oh boy, was the battle on. You know what was my first battle when I started preaching? My wife threw all my clothes out of the house. My daughter's here. She remembers. I'm glad I glanced that way. She's laughing because she remembers. Yeah, Mom, get rid of him. Throw all your stuff out. I come out of church. I just preached. She was mad because I was going to preach. I'm cross because I lived right across the street from the little church I started at. I'm coming back across here with the congregation. I feel all big. And everybody stopped and all my clothes is all over the front yard. Outside the gate. I'm like, uh-oh. Pastor hugs me and goes, it's okay, Frank. It's going to be all right. It's like I told you this morning, it's going to be all right. And man, that's where it started, my venture. It's not easy to lead. And it's not easy to follow God. But if you do what he says, it's going to be a little smoother. It's not going to be perfect. But it's challenging. Why? Because it causes us to depend more on him and not itself. It causes us to draw more to him and not around people. It woos us to come to him and thank him and glorify him more than things. Balaam had an answered prayer from God and he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Balaam's second point is his rebelliousness, which brings me to that. God answers him, gives him his request. And God answers his prayer. And now we're at Balaam's rebelliousness. Look at Numbers 22, 20 through 21. It says, that night God came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to summon you, go with them. But do only what I tell you. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But then right after that, God got angry at him. Why? Why would God get angry after he told him go? You know why? Back to the intentions of the heart. God knows our intentions. And it's clearly pointed out in the scriptures and this story. It'll show us why God was angry. Look at verse 12 and 13 of that same chapter. But God said to Balaam, the first time, don't go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. The next morning, Balaam got up and said to Balak's officials, go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused me to let me go. Do you see it? Why would God get mad at that? Okay, you still don't see it. Let's go on to another text. Verse 19 and 20. This is the second time. God told him, don't go. 19 and 20 says, now spend the night here so I can find out what else the Lord will tell me. Playing God again. That night, God came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to summon you, go with them. But only do what I tell you. Do you see it now? You don't, huh? I couldn't see it either. See, the first time they came, they showed him the money. He was just thinking money, possessions, his image, his pride. And they came to him a second time with more money, more people, more elegance. And he kept saying, you know what, I can't go with you. You know why God was angry? He didn't tell them the whole truth. He said, I can't curse these people. They're blessed by God. All he said is, I can't go. See, we got to come clean with God and say everything that's going on. Don't just use half of your words. Use all of your intentions. The truth will set you free. He wasn't being true to himself because he wanted more money. He sent them back the first time because he knew he probably could get more out of them. Because he knew this King Balak that had power and money. So the second time he came, he still didn't tell them. And God let him get up and go. But his anger burned. Like us, he'll allow us to live how we want to. He wants to steer you his way, but he'll allow you. How would that make him a righteous God if he didn't allow you? He's a God of free will and choice. He allowed Balaam, okay, you want to go this route? And it didn't stop there. When he was angry and sent him anyway, he still used his own donkey to try to still help him. After he didn't come clean with these guys and said, these people are blessed. I can't curse them. All he said is, I can't go. He was lying. He's not even a true prophet. A prophet will tell you the truth right to your face. And so will God. He'll speak right to your face and hopefully right to your heart. Because this is where it should hit. It should convict our hearts in following the voice of God and the leading of his Holy Spirit. And not be led by people, situations, money, and things. Or that love when you can't stand. That's why God was angry. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul is speaking. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Why did I put that text there? I'll break it down a little bit. It says Jesus Christ, is when he was here, it was like God's head was on him. So now here comes the man, the husband, the leader. He has Jesus' head. And the woman, partner, helper to her husband, is the head of the man. A lot of husbands ask me, I don't know what's wrong with my wife. She acts this way, she does that, she doesn't listen to me. Well, since if you're the man and your head is, you have the head of Jesus, how are you treating her? And this is my answer to them. Well, she has your head on, it says here, so you must have made her that way. I know it hurts. Thank you. It was out for me too when I read it and my wife corrected me. My wife showed me this scripture. Mira, look how you're treating me, and you're the head of Jesus? I'm this way because you made me this way. But she goes like this. I'll go halfway with you. Half of me, my wife was real ornery and always on me, and I took it as much as I could, but I'd fight back too. And she took half of it. She said, yeah, half of it I could be wrong, but the other half, where's your Jesus head? See? The man is the leader, but your head is Jesus Christ. How are you treating your wife? How are you treating your loved one? Your co-worker, your boss, your sister, your brother, your aunt that don't know God. Husbands, this is important. I have to throw it at the husbands. You have the head of Jesus. Apply it, man. If you have a partner, love her. Take care of her. She's your crown. And not only that, you're supposed to be an image of Christ because it says right here, man, you have the head of Christ. You know, I've said this before, towards the end of my wife's life, we fell in love all over again. And God took her, I don't know why. But I've learned from it. I learned a lot. That I'm so ready that I'm just going to treat her like a crown and remember what I've learned in my past. And I'll remember to bring that little donkey with me to love on her and my daughters and those people I have a hard time loving. The other day, I went to a gas station. I was driving up to Pine Valley. We have a church in Pine Valley. I pulled up to the Shell there on 14 El Centro early in the morning. I don't know if I shared this story. There's this homeless teenager sitting by the pump, really raggedy, and he kind of looks like a gangster. And I get off. I have my dark glasses. I guess I'm looking gangster, too. And I'm getting off the store being all cool. And he's just, like, looking at me like this. And I just kind of, oh, well, whatever, dude. And I walked in. And as I'm buying the stuff, the Holy Spirit comes, Frank. I love him, too. Who you think you are? There's a donkey again. I'm like, shut up, donkey. I said, no, okay, Lord. I walked out of the store. I looked at him. I turned back in. I got him a soda and chips. And as I'm walking up to him, he's like from here to Zeus. And he's sitting over there. And I'm walking up to him. He's still kind of like, you know, doing the gangster look. You know. And I'm just trying to be humble. About halfway there, he sees what I'm doing. He sees it. And about halfway there, he starts tearing. And I want to cry. And I get there. And I give it to him. I told him, God loves you, man. And he's crying. He goes, thank you. I was hungry and thirsty. And Jesus said this. When I was hungry and thirsty, you fed me. I could have so easily kicked that donkey to the curb, walked in that store, walked out, and just ignored him. Shame on me. I have a lot of these ventures every time I'm coming to church. Where the other one at the store, they didn't want me to feed the old lady outside. I fed her anyway. But I put God first. I told that lady the same thing. Lady, I'm a preacher, remnant. Shame on me if I walk out of here and don't give her something to eat. She's hungry. That's when she changed her attitude. Said, oh, please, sir, what do you need? You put God first. Do what he says. And you see how he works. Let him show you. Walk with your little donkey. That inner voice. Balaam's rebelliousness was obvious. His vision and focus was on things. We can be rebellious too and beat on people with words. We worry more about our image and that what people think around us than God. That's a big one. We're always concerned about self and what people think other than what God thinks. People have asked us as pastors, is it okay if I bring chanclas and shorts and pajamas? Dude, come. We don't care where you're at. Just come hear about Jesus and his love he has for us. We're not going to kick no one to the curb. Shame on us as ministers. And I stand here boldly before the two pastors. We're on that same page. We invite them. We welcome them because we're not God. We're people just like you that want to show the love of God, that want to instill it and teach it and amplify it. Because our lives better be lining up with how we're teaching the word. Are we perfect? Not by far. We're sinners too. And we learn from you. And I know these men like me learn in those times. They sit with you and talk with you and pray with you, because that's where iron is sharpening iron. We're not kicking the donkey to the curb and telling you what we think you should do. We're instilling God's word. Me and these pastors go to God's word first. I love Remnant because we're a biblical church. We're a Bible teaching church. We don't go around text. We don't try to fix it up, doctor it up. We say what it says. I will do what you say, Lord. God is telling Jerry and Jeremiah and Frank, just do what I tell you. And we're working hard at it. We're praying for Remnant to grow. We're praying you guys grow spiritually and wake up. We're praying that you guys will go venture and bring your loved ones and do your work out there, soldiers, when you leave these doors. Instead of leaving here, say, I don't like that he yells. I didn't like the loud music. I only like when Jerry speaks or Jeremiah speaks. Shame on you. You should leave these doors with another vision, a focus to reach people, your family, your loved ones, those God calls not rejects, that we can call rejects. That's not on my notes. That's the zeal of God speaking to us. Shame on us. I'm tearing my papers. Sorry. Balaam's repentance. Balaam's repentance. He listened to God finally. Numbers 22, 34 through 35. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I don't even want to go any further. It's right there. I don't know if it's on the screen. I don't like to look back anymore. It's all here. I sinned. I messed up, God. I'm sorry. A lot of us have a hard time saying, I sinned. You need to. 1 John 1:9 says, and 7 says, if you confess your sins, he'll forgive yours. It's that easy, guys. What holds us up is our focus is somewhere else and not up there. Jesus says, think on things above. Not below. Because all you're going to do when you look down is at your life and at that donkey, at your situations and the things you don't want to do. If you look up, you'll follow Jesus. It looks like you might fall, but he holds us. He sustains us. He carries us. He watches over us. He guides us. The minute you look down, there's your past, there's your life, and there's you trying to make it right and fix it. People die from worrying. I've been teaching that at our Bible study about the mind. How worrying will bury you, paralyze you. And now finally Balaam gets it. Balaam gets it. Only God can save us. Only God can save us. And only God could have helped Balaam. Look at Numbers 22:31. 22:31. I didn't put it in my notes. Who opened Balaam's eyes? And the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. A lot of people think we're in control and we're doing it for God. No, it's God that opened his eyes. He needed help. After all that adversity, after trying to be God and playing with these people and their money and his image, after using a donkey more than once, trying to tell him, look, this is not the right path. You're going the wrong way. God says, okay, I love you this much, Balaam. You probably don't even believe in me fully. You play with my powers and my sources. But he opened his eyes. Why? Why would God allow us to see it anyways? First of all, to show us his power and glory and might that he's in control. And second of all, to show us that we're wrong and who's in control. And we fight that. And we fight it. We will never see the leading of God when something else is leading us. We will never see the leading of God when something else is leading us. Until we recognize and accept our error, that's when God comes in. Until we recognize. A lot of times we don't want to recognize we need to love that loved one. A lot of times we don't recognize when Remnant needs help. You need to step up. But God will deal with all of us in our due time. Like I said, becoming a minister up here was not an easy path for me, and it never will. And I'm good with that. Because God says in his word also, my grace is sufficient for you, Frank. My grace is sufficient for you, remnant. Are you willing to move on and grow? Are you willing to pull that little donkey with you and let him lead you? That little still inner voice of the power of the Holy Spirit teaching and leading. That's where we need to be. Let that still voice lead you. All we need to do is join Balaam and acknowledge our pride and selfish ways. It's right there. That's it. It's that simple. What's leading you today? God's willing. He's always there. He always wants to help us. Amen. Worship team, come on up. What path are you on? And I'll close with this last verse. Which way are you headed? Which way are you headed? I'll tell you which path we need to be on. John 14:6. And it says this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. It's only through Jesus, folks. People tell me, oh, no, there's a lot of gods and there's a lot of ways to God. No, there isn't. It's right there. There's only one way to God. It's through Jesus Christ. I'm sorry if this is stepping on some of your toes or your beliefs that, but when you come to Remnant again, you're going to hear what God says. Not what we think, not what Jerry thinks, Jeremiah thinks. What God says. If you don't know Jesus, you're on the wrong path. If you don't come to him and receive him in your heart, you're headed the wrong way. Oh, it looks good. The world is good at making things appear that you're okay. But you're leaving crumbles behind you. Destruction. People hurt. People crying, people needing, and we just keep walking. I'm okay. My marriage is great. My kids are fine. But have you stopped and knelt and really prayed? Have you let him lead you? You need to get on your knees sometimes. I'm not asking you to do that this morning. I don't even know why I'm doing it. But this is an illustration of it for those of you that don't know how to kneel down and pray. Worship him. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. He has great things for us. Great things for us. But he is the only way. Whatever path you're on tonight, this morning, I'm sorry. I do a lot of speaking with God at night. That's why I say night a lot. And he speaks in that still voice. I need to quiet my house down. The good thing is sometimes my daughter works at night, so my house is quiet. Not that she's noisy. She's a great kid. I love her. Great roommate. She respects God and respects where I stand with God in my home. And I want her to know that because I know she respects it. Come to Jesus. Pray for that loved one. Don't belittle them, judge them. They're your family, man. I came from a messed up family. I was one of the messed up ones. The power of God. This is the power of God. And he wants to move in your relatives, in your loved ones, in your family. And those you think will never change. And that situation you think you'll be always stuck in. Follow Jesus. Wasn't easy for him. But where will you end up when you wake up after you use this body and he takes you? Where will you wake up? Which side of eternity will you be? You make the decision. Stand up and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you love us so much, God. We come praying to you and seeking you, Lord.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You filled our hearts.